He's around you everywhere. He will hear and answer you too. He'll see you through.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and when it was determined that we should sail for Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners to a centurion named Julius of the Augustan band. It is written, we sailed under the lee of Crete, and with difficulty coasting along it, we came unto a certain place called Fair Havens. It is written, and when neither sun nor stars shone upon us for many days, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was now taken away. It is written, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved.
God is just a prayer away.
And we were in all in the ship 216 souls. And casting off the anchors, they left them in the sea, at the same time loosing the bands of the rudders, and hoisting up the foresail to the wind, they made for the beach, but lighting upon a place where two seas met, they ran the vessel aground, and the foreship struck and remained unmovable, but the stern began to break up by the violence of the waves. And so it came to pass that they all escaped safe to land. And the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. And the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on that other shore. And the roll is called of yonder, I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. So let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us preach of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, praise the Lord, I'll be there. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message from Acts 27 entitled The Cruise. Today, we go on a cruise with with the Apostle Paul, Dr. Luke, and Aristarchus on a voyage to Rome. First, take a look at the passenger list on our fellow passengers. A microcosm of humanity. It is the same kind of people you will meet on your voyage of life also. Some were there who had authority over others, the centurion and his soldiers. Today there are courts, judges, police, and other government officials. Some were helpers along the way, such as Dr. Luke. Today we have the hospitals, the schools, and other institutions that make life bearable. Traveling with us today also are personal friends like Aristarchus, who many times showed up when Paul was in trouble. Then there were those who shirked all responsibility, such as the sailors, who could give specialized service and tried to abandon ship in a time of crisis. Others would be fellow travelers in trouble, such as the prisoners who would be taken to Rome with Paul. It seems the prisoners were not guilty of such things as jaywalking or getting a speeding ticket that were being sent to Rome to appear before Caesar, somewhat like the Supreme Court today. The prisoners may have been the ancient world's example of Al Capone, the Boston Strangler, and Jack the Ripper. This is the passenger list, so come aboard, walk up the gangplank, and join us for the cruise. The first port of call was the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius the centurion treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go into his friends and refresh himself. Then, putting to sea from thence, the winds were contrary, and we came to a place called Myra, and there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria bound for Italy, and he put us therein. After sailing many days through stormy seas, we came to a certain place called Fair Havens. Fair Havens sounds like a nice place to be, but it was exposed to the weather and other problems. Many a time we feel today that we have reached Fair Havens in life. We build a new house, get a job, have good health, raise a family, and we think that we have arrived in Fair Havens. Things can't be any better than this. It may seem like Fair Havens, but our Fair Havens eventually will experience the greatest grief, sorrow, heartbreak, and disappointment. Psalms 107 tells us of the real Fair Havens. He maketh the storm to calm. He bringeth them into their desired haven. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no Fair Haven down here for very long. We are always limited as to what we can accomplish by the grave and a short lifetime. Paul told them, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with much hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives." The centurion vetoed this advice on the advice of the owner and captain of the ship, and advised to sail anyway against Paul's advice. After all, what did Paul know? The sailors were experts and knew what they were doing. Sometimes the church is cowed and afraid before the experts. You have to be very stupid today to disagree with the experts when they tell us that man evolved from fish and monkeys. It is well to remember the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians. The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Although Paul was not a sailor, he was not completely ignorant of the sea. He said he had suffered shipwreck 3 times and spent a night and a day in the deep, and here he is ready to suffer a 4th shipwreck. And since his judgment turned out to be correct, he may have had the advantage also of having a prophetic mind. So don't be cowed and afraid of the experts. Time will reveal their ignorance. Then, when the south wind blew softly, they supposed they had obtained their purpose, and they weighed anchor and sailed along Crete close inshore. But no sooner did they get a good start than the wind shifted, and they were in the grip of a northeaster called Uraquillo. They supposed they had gained their purpose when the south wind blew softly. They supposed. It is a mistake to bank on supposition. Mary and Joseph supposed the boy Jesus to be among their kinfolk and acquaintance, but he was not there. A lot of people have made that mistake. They have supposed the religion of their parents is right. When Paul was stoned at Lystra, they dragged him out of the city, supposing he was dead, but he wasn't. Far from it. There was yet a second and third missionary journey ahead of him. Epistles to write, churches to be established, two trials before Nero, before a glorious entry into the presence of Jesus. There was also a great supposition of the apostles after the resurrection in Luke 24. Jesus appeared in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed they beheld a spirit. Then he said, See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye behold me having. They still were not sure until he said unto them, Have you anything to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and honeycomb, and he took it and ate it before them. Then they knew this was not a supposition. Jesus had a real resurrected body, and he was indeed the firstborn from the dead. We have to notice also that great whopper of a supposition on the day of Pentecost. Peter stood up with the 11 and said, These men are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. Some today don't say Peter was drunk when he told them, Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. They just teach it was all right back then to tell them that, but it won't work today. It is a tragic mistake to suppose the conversion accounts of the book of Acts worked all right then, but not today. The word of God outweighs all the suspicions of everybody. So the south wind blew softly. It always does. At the first drink, the imbiber does not see the drunken sot he will become, or the mangled bodies of those he kills by driving under the influence. The south wind blows softly for the smoker until the Uraquillo of cancer seizes him. And then there is the Uraquillo of AIDS. For those who are fooled with the south wind blowing softly in what they call safe sex, no matter how careful and close you sail along shore, beware when the south wind blows softly. When they were definitely in the grip of Uraquillo, they decided to save the ship and their lives. The furniture and freight had to be thrown overboard, so over the side it went. There comes a time in the voyage of life when a lot of things that are precious to us have to go. I can remember a woman one time who told me that she was a member of about 15 different things. That was too much. She said something has to go. And without the slightest hesitation, she said the work she was doing for the church would have to go. It was overboard with the Lord. Overboard with his church. At this point, Paul reminded them that they should have listened unto him. However, he told them they had nothing to fear. He said, An angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, hath appeared to him that night and told him, Fear not, Lord, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Think of that. Paul said he belonged to God, and he served God. That should be the motto of all Christians. The God whose I am, and whom I serve. 1 Corinthians 6 informs us, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have from God. And ye are not your own, you have been bought with a price. Wherefore, glorify God in your bodies. The Christian is a person who has been bought with a high price. Peter tells us about it in his first epistle. You are redeemed, not with corruptible things, with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of a lamb without blemish and without spot, even the blood of Christ. These men on that ship owed their lives to the fact that Paul was on board. The world has no idea how much it owes to the church for its present existence. Without the church and the influence of the Bible in this world, your city would be transformed into a Sodom and Gomorrah. Take the church out of this world, and the hell that many regard as fancy would become a reality in your city and in your life. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen on quicksand, they cast four anchors from the stern and wished for the day. They had heard the waves beating on the beach. They sounded and found 20 fathoms, then again and found 15 fathoms, and there was no time to lose. Down with the anchors to save them from shipwreck. Ladies and gentlemen, there is an anchor for the soul also. Paul speaks of it in Hebrews. Which hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both steadfast and sure. The blessed hope of life in Christ Jesus is the anchor for our souls. Without Christ, your life is going to be a shipwreck, if it isn't already. The song asks a very important question. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock that cannot move, grounded and firm and deep in the Savior's love. And now the next thing that goes overboard is a lifeboat. As the sailors were about to flee out of the ship, and had let down the boat into the sea, under color as though they would cast out more anchors from the foreship, the sailors decided to abandon ship. Paul told on them. He said to the centurion and the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Now these sailors were specialized workers, and without them the landlubbers would be helpless. So the soldiers cut away the lifeboat and set it adrift. That statement, except ye abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved, reminds us of our spiritual voyage. We must not abandon the ship. There was a famous American sea captain whose dying words were, don't give up the ship. Many, like the sailors, abandon the old ship of Zion, the church. One man told me of a woman one time who told him, I am saved, and if I wanted to be a prostitute, it wouldn't make any difference. I could still do it and still go to heaven. Peter, in his second epistle, says, for if after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the last state of them is worse than the first. For it were better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered unto them. It has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog turning to its own vomit, and the sow that was washed a wallowing in the mire. The concept of restoring the New Testament church has all but been abandoned. Some have abandoned the church. They abandoned the Lord's Supper. They have abandoned the Bible. They have abandoned prayer. They have abandoned any doctrine if it is not popular and if it is with an apology. They speak of the Bible plan of salvation if they speak of it at all. Except ye abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Remember the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 9:27. For I buffet my body and bring it into subjection, lest after having preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. As they were waiting for daylight, Paul persuaded them to have an early breakfast. They had eaten little in 2 weeks, lost their appetite in the ordeal. Paul said, "This is for your safety." They were getting ready to go ashore at daybreak and would need all the strength they could muster. Paul took bread and broke it and prayed. And then they followed his example and not only ate, they ate enough. That bread they didn't want actually tasted better than they thought. As a preacher, I have tried every argument I can think of to get people to read the Bible with any degree of regularity. Perhaps Paul has the right answer here. You have fasted long enough, some of you, from refusal to eat the bread of life. This is for your safety. You will soon go ashore from this life. This is for your safety. You need all the strength you can muster. If you begin to seriously read the Word of God, you will find, like the crew on that ship, it really is good stuff, and you'll never get enough of it. After gorging as much as they could, they further lightened the ship by throwing the residue of the wheat into the sea. At daybreak, they saw the beach and decided to run the ship aground. The sail was hoisted, the anchors dropped off, and they made for the beach. The foreship hit a sandbar and struck. The hindmost part of the ship began to break up by the violence of the waves. That ship is interesting. It had been through many terrible storms, taking a terrible beating at sea, and nothing could sink it until they drove it up on the beach and the waves beat it in pieces. Is that not like the old ship of Zion, the Church of Christ? It has sailed through many stormy seas in the past 2,000 years and survived them all. However, the greatest danger today is when the crew wants to drive the old ship of Zion up on the land and become a part of the world. The soldiers wanted to kill the prisoners, lest they escape. The centurion commanded that everyone who can swim jump overboard and swim ashore, and the rest of you grab a plank, anything you will serve as a life preserver. And over the side they went. There were 276 people on board, and when they got to the shore, they called the roll and found out that the Lord had called the shots perfectly. He said they would all come out alive, and they did. And it came to pass that they all escaped safe to land. This is an example for the crew of the old ship of Zion. They had thrown all the cargo overboard, then all the furniture, then the residue of the food that was left. And when they stood on the beach, drenched to skin, shivering in the rain, they brought absolutely nothing at all with them. The big screen television was gone. All the bank account was gone. The telephones were gone. The laptop was gone. The stock was gone. The fancy car was gone. The new house was gone. They did not take anything, absolutely anything, out of this world. And neither will you. Listen to that again. Safe to land. No one was missing. Someone called the roll. Paul, prisoner of Rome, here. Dr. Luke, traveling physician, here. Aristarchus of Macedonia, here. Julius, centurion of the Roman army, here. One by one, they called the roll, and everyone was accounted for. There was no loss of life. And it came to pass that they all escaped, safe to land. Surely there's a message there for those who sail on this voyage of the old ship of Zion. If we lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, throwing all encumbrances into the sea, when the Lord shall come, it shall come to pass that we will all escape safe to land. We will not stand on that rain-soaked island of Melita, but on the shore of that sea whose appearance is like unto glass mingled with fire, where we are surrounded not by barbarians, but by all the faithful saints of the ages. The captain of our salvation will call the roll, and it shall come to pass that we will all escape safe to land. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, and the saints of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard another God Is Just Prayer Away radio broadcast, brought to you each week at this same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Until next week at this same time, don't forget to tell somebody somehow and in some way that God is just a prayer away.
For God is just a prayer.